Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got such a lovely treat for you this fine afternoon, evening, morning, whenever you're listening. Time is relative and a flat circle. Well, let's just get to it, because you're not listening to hear me ramble about time. You're listening to hear music. So, here it is. It is Annie Stokes, who's our special guest today, and her song, Living Right.
Beans.
That was Living Right by the wonderful, incredibly talented Annie Stokes. Go ahead, introduce yourself. Let people know your voice.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. My name's Annie Stokes. I am a singer-songwriter from this area being the District of Columbia and suburban enclaves. And that was Living Right. It's from my upcoming album. Thank you guys for listening to it.
So what's your musical background? When did you first start writing songs? How'd you get into it?
So my musical background had a couple detours. I actually started performance as an actress, and I, you know, starting at the age of 5, really only wanted to be a stage actress. So I took like tap and voice training, and I did acting classes, and I was very much into the idea of being in musicals and plays. And then I also enjoyed writing poetry, but those were kind of two different things. I was a writer, and then I enjoyed being on stage. And then when I was 21, the summer I turned 21, I got my first guitar. And at that point, those two passions of performing and writing kind of came together, and I started writing my own music, and I started learning how to play an instrument. And from there, I kind of became this singer-songwriter that has been in formation for the past 6 or 7 years. But yeah, it started out with Broadway, oddly enough.
Did you keep up with the tap dancing? I'm wondering if we'll ever...
Sadly, I did not keep up with the tap dancing. I think about that a lot because I was weirdly good at it. Like, I sucked at ballet. Anything involving grace or poise, I was not good at. But for some reason, tap dancing, like, really hit that OCD part of my brain that everything had to be, like, on the right rhythm. So I didn't keep up with tap dancing. I do act sometimes still. But I definitely, the chorus line dream, I think, is officially dead for now.
With that OCD on rhythm and everything, did that OCD for rhythm translate at all to playing?
Kind of. When I first started playing, I, oddly enough, did not learn to strum. I learned to finger pick because strumming was too imprecise for me. And with finger picking, I could be more in control of what sounds came out of my guitar and when, and I was more in control of the timing. So I guess, yes, it did transfer over, and that I very much did not like the idea that I would hit the wrong strings during strumming. So I was immediately a finger picker.
Now, when you write a song, do you have any special rituals you go through when writing it? Like, some people will sit down piano with a glass of wine and a rail of cocaine or something and just... blast it out.
Well, there's usually wine involved. Not so much the rail of cocaine, but I do kind of have a ritual for writing. I try to get one thing down first, whether it's a riff or whether it's a lyric or whether it's the chorus. I just try and be really creative with that one aspect of it, kind of like let whatever happens and come to me. And from there, once you have that thing, not that it all of a sudden becomes formulaic, but after that, it's a lot easier to say, like, okay, that's the riff that is going to be the hook or the chorus. And it was in this key, and I'm going to build around that. So yes and no, I have to start off very unstructured, but then once I have something to work with, I can be a little bit more like, okay, we have officially half the song down. What do I need for the rest of the song?
So you lay your foundation and
yes,
build it from
exactly,
there.
Exactly. I try not to regulate it too much because you don't want it to be too much like a paint by numbers thing. You know, you want it to sound creative and organic, but you know, obviously there has to be a little bit of structure.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about is some of your environmental work. Mm-hmm. And I noticed on your website, it mentioned that profits from album sales go to environmental charities. What mm-hmm. are some of those charities?
Specifically two of them. It's Trees, Water, and People. That is a wonderful charity based out of Colorado that helps the environment by helping people to help the environment. So it equips people with the knowledge and the resources to live in a sustainable manner. The other one that we're benefiting is Conservation Music. That is actually a charity based out of this area. A couple pals of mine, I didn't realize we were friends before I reached out to them, but they very strongly believe that in in different countries where there's less resources and less education and less money. People are living unsustainably, not because they want to, but because they haven't really been equipped with resources that match their culture and match their background. So that's more about empowering people who are, for instance, in South Africa or India, to live sustainably in a way that's very much centered around them and their experiences, as opposed to, you know, philanthropists coming in and telling them how to live their lives.
See, I like that in the charity, giving people the tools to help themselves rather
right,
than just...
and centering them in their experiences instead of having kind of a savior complex about it, saying, you know, you have the wisdom and the tools necessary, you know, and I'm just going to be a part of that.
Well, that's good. I like those charities already. I hadn't heard of them until now. Good job, guys out there. Now, you have a new album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
What's the title of the album?
The title of the album is Livin' Right.
Living Right,
like the song I played for you.
Oh, wow. It all comes full circle.
It did, yeah.
You got any good stories from recording the album?
Oh, so many. I crowdfunded, which was my first experience crowdfunding. It's definitely a very humbling, rewarding experience. But it kind of put us all in a very kind of a strict timeline that we've obviously had to make changes to just because of the nature of putting a project together. But it felt more ordered and more structured than it had in the past, which is really cool because I felt like I was doing a big kid thing. Like, oh, this is a real job. But no super crazy stories, just a lot of really fun, rewarding sessions. I feel like the second album is kind of like having your second child. Like, it's so much easier than the first time around and everything's like going so smoothly and everybody knows their voice a lot more. And, you know, just a lot of cheesy stories of me like listening to the mixes in the studio and like crying or like high-fiving everybody. So
we got this segment called Five Questions on the show where I'm going to ask you five questions everyone gets asked. So here it is. Cue the music. It's time for five questions. What's the worst gig you ever had?
I would say it is probably some sort of combination of being outside in the rain. I won't name any venue names because I don't think it was anyone's intention to do this. It was just kind of things kind of coalesced. And I play a lot of outdoor gigs and there have just been situations where I'm outside in the rain. And then I play at a lot of places that serve fine craft beverages such as wine and beer, and so there's always the very real possibility that they're going to be like very loud, obnoxious, drunk people. This is a really boring answer, but there's not really one specific gig that stands out as like I got booed off the stage or I like threw up on stage or something. It's mostly just experiences where I was like in 40 degree weather.
It's kind of a montage.
Yeah, a montage of me being really, really cold.
Can't play in parkas.
Yeah. Or like my fingers turning super white and like not moving anymore. So yeah, if it's raining, you should bring your artists inside.
What's the worst equipment malfunction you had on stage?
Okay, this one I can actually go with. Literally tomorrow, I'm going to Guitar Center to get my electric acoustic fixed. But in the meanwhile, when that's not working throughout the past 6 years that I've been performing, I have an acoustic pickup that I use and I put it into a Fishman amp. This is obviously not ideal for larger settings. And I remember one time I was playing, it was a smaller place, it was a cafe, but just the most horrendous feedback ever because the amp and the wire were breaking at the same time. And it was one of those like high-pitched squeals where like everybody instinctively like grabs their like claws at their faces. And I was like, sorry guys, it's just me. So yeah, you know, amps whistling in the middle of a song, you know, the pickup starting to hum in the middle of a song and like you can't tell what it's from. Yeah. I've been blessed, though. I've never had something, like, break on stage or, like, fall over on stage.
Or catch fire.
No. Well, now, probably, because you asked me about it.
What's the dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed while on a tour?
I have slept in a basement in Bushwick. I was playing somebody's Kickstarter fundraiser party. This was a couple years ago. The people were really nice. Bushwick was super scary. I have also...
What was scary about it? Like,
it was just like a strange row house in an area that I was not familiar with. And I was so new to touring that I didn't really have like a support system in the area. I took a bus up, so I didn't really have like a way to leave. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to become unconscious in this basement. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. And then... Oh, so recently I was playing a show in Norfolk and I lost my driver's license. Like, it fell out of my car and it was like 30 degrees, like the last really cold day of February or March. And I was trying to get into this Econo Lodge and they ended up having to like take my student ID and my license plate number to get into this like beachfront Econo Lodge that probably had some strange things going on in it. And then I like couldn't find my door. And then once I got in the hotel, I could hear, like, the other guests, like, you know, through the really thin walls. So I just curled up with my bottle of champagne and my, like, Netflix. And I was like, see you tomorrow, guys.
What's the closest you've come to quitting music?
Dude, that's a deep question. I think, honestly, it was after I released my first album. And it was nothing to do with disliking the album. I'm very proud of the album. But at the time, it was actually because at the time I... was working as a daycare assistant. I wasn't working a very high paying job and I was living by myself at that point. So I was just, and then I was also teaching music in the afternoons and I was just barely scraping by. Like my paychecks were just barely covering what it took to live at the time. And so I almost considered putting music on the back burner, quitting music, not in any way, shape, or form because I didn't like it, but because I was just so tired and burnt out by life and being alive that I was like, I don't think I can support this hobby. Of course, very quickly afterwards, my circumstances changed and, you know, hard times never last. And I was like, okay, I would be very miserable if I gave up music. But it was just during a time in my life where I was poor.
All right. What's the best memory you have of playing music?
There's so many good ones. So I'll choose one that kind of, I feel, represents other memories. It's in the same vein, but we were opening for a band that you have actually, I think you know them, Wilder.
Yeah.
We're opening for them at the Rock and Roll Hotel. And it was just really one of those great experiences where you could see people in the audience really paying attention to you and starting to sing along with your songs. And I think as a young artist who's just starting out in a very oversaturated market, obviously, so much of the gigs you play at first to kind of prove that you have the stamina to do this are at places where nobody's listening to you. And you're kind of just grateful to have the opportunity to practice performing and maybe make eye contact with people. And so when you finally get to those levels of venues and shows where people are actually there to listen to you, specifically you, it's such a humbling and great experience. And so, you know, that I feel like that was the first time where we got on stage and, like, you know, even as the opener, the place was packed and people were like excited to hear us. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this might actually be something that's worth it. And weirdly enough, that was about 2 months after I had had, you know, my very economically depressed experience where I was like, can I responsibly justify continuing music. You know, I had this really great experience.
Bounce back. The hard
Very
times
full
didn't
circle.
Last.
The hard times didn't last. Yeah. And that was actually almost a year ago today. So this past year is all about about me kind of making music the central part of my life. I obviously still have day jobs, but you know, the churning force, I guess, is
the year of music.
It's the year of music.
It's the year of music.
Yep.
Speaking of music, how about another song? For all you out there listening, this is Southern Girl by Annie Stokes.
etiquette where her daddy's name should have gone. She's her mama's bitter song. Over knobby knees, and no one calls her pretty. She dreams about a city. Ooh, ooh, oh. Southern girl, Southern girl, nobody ever loved you right. Tennessee, Virginia girl, no one to hold you through the night. Lost in a river of scattered souls. Someone stole your crown and left you in this dust bowl. Oklahoma girl, no one to hold you through the night. Lost in a river of scattered souls. Someone stole your crown and left you in this dust bowl.
Welcome back. That was Southern Girl by Annie Stokes. Is there a story behind that song by any chance? Because that song and the next song that you play for us both mention clay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in a lot of allusions in poetic form, clay is like moldable, learning, yeah, all that. I was wondering if there was a story behind that.
Now there will be. I haven't quite thought of that. Maybe subconsciously.
Maybe I'm just overanalyzing.
No, that's really, really good. Thank you so much. I will credit you with that, illusion when I talk about it. No, it's mostly, you know, Virginia's and the South is very known for its like red clay dirt. And this album was written kind of with me taking stock of why I was a musician and why I was doing this. And if it was just because I wanted to sing and have my face on an album, then that felt kind of pointless to me. So I was like thinking about all the powerful ways music has made change in the past, especially during, you know, the Vietnam War. And then I started thinking about something that I've always cared about, which is the environment and how much the environment has molded me, going back to the clay thing. Yeah. And so, and how we are, you know, in our way, molding the environment in not great ways. So I decided to write an album that was, you know, not necessarily like schoolhouse rock for environmentalism 101, but kind of all songs that were based on different experiences that I had as a human interacting with the environment, specifically in the South.
Now, when does this album come out? When can people get their hands on it?
This album, we are releasing, our release party is on June 9th in Arlington. More details about that soon. We're going to be releasing it a couple days before that, probably that Monday, on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. So first week of June, we're really excited about that. The release party is going to be at IOTA in Arlington. We do have some preview shows before that. On May 25th, we're playing at Gypsy Sally's. And then on Memorial Day Sunday, I'm going to have a solo show at Northgate Vineyards in Purcellville. And then I have a Descartes Vineyard show the next weekend. So some winery gigs if you're trying to relax with some smooth acoustic and earthy vintage.
It's beautiful country out there, yeah, in Purcellville. Where can people get more information? You know, the social media links. What are those?
On the interwebs. I am at anniestokesmusic.com. That's my website. I'm also on facebook.com/anniestokesmusic. My Twitter is Annie C. Stokes, and my Instagram is Ann Catherine, AnnCatherYn. I made that before I knew I was going to be using it for music, so most of it is my cats. and I put music stuff on it, but also a lot of cats.
Cats and music.
Cats and music.
You guys like both listening out there?
Yeah.
Go check it out. I got a few shows in the area, some hip happenings to tell you about. First off, open mics. I know I stress it every episode, but open mics are amazing. You should go to them. You can see local artists in your area perform stuff that normally you don't see them perform in regular sets, or get to know the community better. One open mic that I love going to, and I try and go to it every week if I can, it is Epicure's open mic every Thursday night. They also have one every Monday night. Wonderful place, good pizza, good people. It's great. So go to that. You know, it's easy. It's easy to go to. Then show-wise, the Good Vibes Festival is coming up. That's May 26th through the 28th. That's out in Warrenton. Milo and the Doldrums is playing. They got a bunch of DJs, tons of bands. It's going to be a great time. Camping, you know, good festival to kick off the festival season. Then, on June 11th, one of my favorite DC bands, Walk the Plank, is having an album release at DC9. It's going to be killer. The Daycare Swindlers have a few shows coming up. July 11th, 7-Eleven. Get your taquitos. Go to Fat Tuesdays. Check out the Daycare Swindlers. And then again, at Jam and Java on August 5th, they are playing. Then, on May 31st, the Radiographers, the Antatacats, the Pelly, and XK Scenario are playing at the Velvet Lounge. XK Scenario's killing it right now. So go check that out. A big thank you to Mark Ryder and Ken Barnum for recording and mixing and keeping us safe from evil every week. Big thank you to Bias Studios for hosting and having us. Check out all the social medias for them. Mark Ryder Music, Ken Barnum, Bias Studios. Wonderful music comes out of this place, and let's all be a part of it. Let's all listen to it. Come together. While you're on the internet checking everything out, listening to this, feel free to throw Cast Aesthetic a like. I think we're like 9 likes away from 400 or something, so you could be one of those 9. Do it now. Like, follow, Instagram, tweet. You know, you guys know what I'll do this now. It's ingrained in us at this point. There's one last song that lovely Annie Stokes has performed for you listening. That's right, you. It's called Flood. Is there a story behind this one?
Kind of. I was watching news reports of flooding in the Carolinas and Louisiana. Separate floods, you know. Just every, it seems like
a really big flood.
Yeah, really big flood. Yeah. No, just a lot of extreme weather events lately, putting people in coastal communities in danger. And I do have some family down in South Carolina. So I think about I think about that a lot, and I think about how much I enjoyed visiting Charleston, and how, you know, it's kind of under sea level, or it's about to be. So I wrote this song about places.
That's a lovely city too.
I know. Please don't quote me on that. They might be like a couple inches above. Anyway, they're prone to flooding. So I wrote this song about places that I love that are, you know, constantly getting washed.
Well, here it is. I'll be back in a couple weeks with some more music for you. It's Annie Stokes' song. Get the new album. It's going to be so good. But this is her song, Flood.
Cover me up, wash me away.